Welcome to the Hey Kings podcast, brought to you by Chrome. On the podcast today, I'm joined by Neville Janky. Now, you're going to have to bear with his accent because he's Australian, and he has a fantastic story to tell us today. But before we get to the story about some really, really old silage that made a difference, Nev, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John Paul. It's wonderful to be there.
Let's talk about the farm that you grew up on. It was started by your dad and uncles, is that right?
Yeah, correct. And this little farm was about 2 hours west of Brisbane on the east coast of Australia. That farm was taken by ballot by my grandfather back in about 1914. It was worked by my grandfather and grandmother, and then there was 9 uncles and aunties, and my father was the last of that family.
Now, this was a dairy farm, right?
Yes, correct. This was a dairy farm. And of course, in the early days, they milked by hand. And then in the days of my dad and his uncles and that, they actually had a little 32-volt lighting plant that drove a little separator, and they had 40 cows. And they actually had cream that they took to a butter factory just across the road with a horse and cart. So this is going back a lot of years. And my dad is now 88, and he was a young lad of 8 when that silage pit went down.
Okay, so let's talk about, I could do the math, but I know that you have your dad's notes, which is so cool. So what year was this?
So, John Paul, this was in the year of 1944. I believe World War II was still underway, and one of my uncles was there at World War II fighting. The brothers were left home on the farm, were milking the cows and looking after the operations. This good year in 1944 was a year of plenty of rain, and they had a little 500-acre farm, and they grew wheat on this farm, and this wheat grew waist height, I believe, and then it was an abundance of feed. So they decided to dig a silage pit into the ground. So in the notes, it says on the 29th of September 1944, they started digging a new silage pit with a plow and a scoop. When we dug it up in the year that I was around, when I was just a lad there milking cows on this same farm, we actually dug it up in the 12th of December 1990. So this silage had been put down in 1944, and we dug it up in the 12th of December 1990.
Wow. And you fed it.
Yes. So just to give you a little bit of insight then into this, because we go back to 1944 now, this is the exciting part, that in the middle of World War II, here's these boys with this big crop of wheat, and they're digging a hole in the ground to store this feed for their 40-odd cows. So this large crop of wheat, they cut it with a reaper and binder, and they bound it into sheaves. And it took them a week to bind it and to strap it all up with twine around it. And then they carted it with a horse and cart down to where this pit that they dug in the ground. Now, this pit would have been about 2 meters deep in our terms today, about 2 meters deep. And then they stacked. It took them 10 days to cut it, reaper and bind it, and to stack it in this silage pit, in this pit in the ground. Once they had all stacked it all in there, then they covered it back with earth, just covered it over with soil. It was left as like a bun on top of the ground. It was just soil, and it was in a cultivation paddock. So we knew where it was. This mound was in this flat paddock, and we knew that that's where it was.
Now, how tall would it have been protruding out of the ground?
It would have been a good, I would say, 300 to 400 high out of the ground. We knew where it was, and we knew the shape of it. We knew exactly where it was, bearing in mind that my father, that's 88 now, he was 8 when he sat on the edge of that pit watching his brothers put it in and do it all. He remembers sitting there watching them put this feed into the ground. And then they covered it with earth and it left it about between 300 and 400 high, I suppose, over and above where the paddock was. So all my growing up years then, so his growing years, and then when he took over looking after the farm, and then, of course, my growing up years, we were always told that there was feed underneath that lump in the ground. We knew it was there. So, and he said, I watched it go down. He says, I know it's there.
Now, in sheaves, it wasn't chopped when it was put in the ground, right?
No, it was in sheaves, and it had twine around the sheaf.
Yep.
That they put it in. That's what held it. A reaper and bind it and would cut it and then put it into a sheaf, and then the string would go around it to hold that sheaf together. And that's how it was put into the ground.
Now, I'm thinking 1944, plastic lining wasn't a thing. Was there anything at the bottom of the pit to help encase it?
Nothing, JP.
And then just dirt over the top.
Nothing. That's right. So it was dug apparently with a little case tractor, something like that, with a little drawn scoop behind it. And I'm guessing that scoop that I remember seeing, the scoop that it was dug with, it was still in the back paddock under with a tree growing up around it. And that scoop would have shifted about a cubic meter of soil. So there would have been a lot of scoop loads that came out. And it left a little sheer edge on each side and a nice little flat bottom on this trench that they did. It was more like a trench that they dug in the ground.
Sure. Let's take a break there and we'll get a word from our sponsor.
Looking to get more from your alfalfa seed? Plant cropland. Achieve your alfalfa production goals with a well-crafted plan. New AA series varieties from Cropland provide significant improvement in overall plant health, improving yield, quality, and persistence. Find the new AA series variety that works for you, available in conventional Roundup Ready or reduced lignin harv extra trait platforms. Cropland has the right fit for your need. For insights and more information that will work for you, go to www.cropland.com.
Sheaves of wheat that went into this just a earth pit, and then covered with dirt again, and then it sat from 1944 to 1990.
It was 46 years underground.
We're talking two generations here. That's amazing.
That's right. My generation was 1990 when I was dairying on that farm, and of course, my father he wrote the diary. Still, he was still around. He wrote the diary again. And of course, in that diary, there's a diary note. And we found that there. So on the 12th of December, 1990, we opened up the silage pit. It had been down for 46 years. And the note says, surprisingly, the bale twine was still intact around the sheaves and the cows loved the silage.
That's amazing.
That's the diary note on the 12th of December, 1990. And I was the one that actually dug it up. We took a big four-wheel loader with a big two-meter bucket on the front, and we started digging. It took us quite a while to get down. It was over a meter, so about probably 1.3 meters of soil above the silage that we had to take off. So we excavated that out.
Four feet. Okay.
About 4 feet of soil was on top of the silage. So we scooped that all off and we run this big four-wheel drive loader down over the top of it all and scooped all the soil off the top. And it left this small bun that was about a meter wide that was left, a meter wide, and it was about a meter deep. It was like a bun inside the soil. Now, when they had put it in, it had degraded on the sides. We lost about 6 inches on each side and on the bottom. That was like the seal that went against the soil. It hadn't really decomposed. It hadn't really rotted because there was no soil in there, but it had gone dark coloured. So we didn't feed that to the animals, to the cows. We actually just dug out the centre section he was, and we lifted, we could lift out the sheaves, just a whole sheaf of wheat as it was put in 46 years before.
Absolutely amazing.
And we loaded that. And of course, to keep it clean, we actually dug it out by hand to start with, to get it, to just to get it, to just to see it. And and it was just so real that our uncles had put that in there so many years before, and he was the next generation, us guys digging it out. I was 30 years old when I dug that out. We fed that then to those cows, those dairy cows, in that drought of 1990, and they never left a stalk, and it smelt as sweet as sweet. It was beautiful smell.
That is something. Now, I'd imagine that the drought was relatively intense to induce you to dig that up.
It was very intense at that year. But just a little note, I guess, for the Crone boys to pick up on as we talk about this, the twine that was around those sheaves, it was still, as while it was in the silage, in the pit, it was strong. It was just absolutely tough as the day that they put it in there. But as soon as you took it out and put that out in the sun, the twine just disintegrated.
It was gone.
It was gone. It just fell apart. It was nearly like it was as if it was edible. As soon as it dried out, it just fell to bits. It just fell to pieces in your hands as little straws. So I never took a lot of notice of it other than I knew that. I should have went back and took a lot more notice of it. But I can remember it just being little fine threads of this, like a hempy type thing, or I really don't know what it was actually made of, but that's what it was. It was just intriguing, that side of it.
Now, I'm going to guess there weren't any feed tests done on this.
No, and it was before the time that we really put a lot of weight on feed tests, and I'm wished that I would have. I don't know what it would have tested, JP. I don't know, but it smelt sweet, and the cows never left a thing, so that's the best feed test.
Ah, yeah. No, if they lick it up, it's got to have something to it. Absolutely amazing. Well,
there was milk in the tank on the end of feeding that time.
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around how much volume was in this pit.
What we actually got out was a meter by a meter, like a cubic meter, and it would have been probably, I would think, say 40 meters long.
Oh, okay.
So it would have been, say, 40 meters long and then a meter deep and a meter wide is what was left that we could actually feed.
Mm-hmm.
The wastage on the bottom and the top and so forth, it would have been another 6 inches wide on each
side. On each side, sure.
So we lost 6 inches each side, 6 inches top and bottom. That was the loss factor of that. But after 45, 46 years being down, underground, we didn't know what we were going to find, whether there would even be anything left. But yes, there was, and it was beautiful feed.
What a fantastic story. You didn't tell me that you had all of this written down from your dad's notes. Now I want to know what else is in that book.
There's a lot in that book.
There's got to be some fantastic stories in there.
There is, and it's very relevant just to that farm. When my old grandfather took his ballot, as they called it then, a ballot of so many blocks, and I think he took 5 blocks in the ballot, and that means that's when the land was first divided up.
Yep.
And do you know, JP, he paid £2 per block.
How big's
now,
a block?
I believe a block was 90 acres.
£2.
He paid £2 for 90 acres. And that was, for the 5 blocks, he paid £10. And that was 240-odd or 450 acres. So he had 5 blocks and 90-acre blocks.
Wow. Absolutely amazing.
Yes. So then we added some more blocks on in latter years, but that was the first ballot that he drew, and they were the blocks that he had. And it was pioneering days back in those early days, and he built a little hut and he started to milk some cows. If you want just the last little bit of that diary, there was a note in it. There was a note in it when the first motor vehicle went past the farm. and he actually wrote a note in it. That was the old grandfather, wrote a note in it. The first motor car passed by this afternoon, and that was on the 21st of March, 1914.
Absolutely, so there you amazing.
Go. There's another little bit of history. The first motor car passed the farm that day.
Nev, I suspect we're going to have to do this again. I'd dearly love to have you back to pull another one of those stories out of that book. I hope you publish that someday. Those are fantastic notes.
It's my father did put it to a publisher, and we did get 20-odd books printed just for our own immediate families and the ones that grew up from that.
Oh, wonderful.
When you've got a grandfather and grandmother that had 10 children, that means that there's 45 grandchildren, and then there's all the families from that down. And so there was quite a lot of interest in the history of that farm, because that's where our family started.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Nev, thanks so much for sharing this today.
No, happy to share it.
Well, that's it for today. I want to say a special thank you to Nick Palmieri at Palmieri Sound for doing all of our audio work. A thank you to Jessica Palmieri for doing all of our social media posting and coordination. Thank you to Cropland for sponsoring this episode.